killer stars. No doubt. The undisputed. For street, living with their lives on the line.
For young guns coming up during these times.
For police who find drugs, let slide.
For the ends out slinging like four in the night.
For your man's not snitching when the pressure is tight.
For those tips that don't jam when it's time to strike.
For bootleg liquor on a Sunday night.
This be the realest you heard in your life.
Yo, when the gas refill, your cash get peeled, and that's the tale. If we go for chance to switch fast, they'll act.
Harry, let me get a little bit more.
Aiming at your mug first. Bloodthirst, we see who get plugged worse. We dug earth to place you, put the nickel platers to your facial. The little same racial kid, they only hate you. My mind'll seem like it's a time machine, BC date you. Jacking you more than Ripper, my fifth's an organ shifter. The human organism lifter, you'll be hearing organs if you're leaving orphans. If you let these fools hit you with a law split you. A four pitcher, the bump heads, but those that don't let accurate.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, and this is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHHLP, where you will hear conversation, information, education, inspiration, motivation from the American urban perspective. I am your host, Kingsley Osei. Joining us today in will be our very special guest. I will introduce him very soon. Today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bowmines and Twitter at Bowmines. You can also stream this show on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. You can also join me on my Facebook page, Kingsley Osei, and we are streaming on all platforms. My special guest just arrived. He just arrived. We're not even going to talk about it. Oh my God!
Technology.
You take him out of Shakespeare to wherever he live at, and he still can't get it right. Take the hood out of them, and you still can't take the. You take them out of the hood, and you still can't take the hood out of them. You can't make this up. Straight up made in BX Yankee Stadium, 167 Shakespeare. You cannot make this up. Is that right? You remember Gabby?
Hi, Zara.
You remember? Look, she's so excited. Look, I'm shy. You remember you went to the birthday party at his house a couple of weeks ago? Yeah. All right, now say hi and bye. 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 We're on live radio. Got to go. Look, you got to go. Yeah, man. So, you know, we got a very special guest, my man, Gabby Azevedo, who is the CEO of G-Star Entertainment. Former president of SRC, La Records, manager of J.I., the Prince of New York, former manager of French Montana, Diego Calderon, Messiah, and a few others, man. Gab, what's going on, brother?
What's going on? Man, get to be on the platform, man. Yeah,
you got to come back and do this, man. You burned 20 minutes of our time, man. 20 minutes of, man, 20 minutes of my life that we're never going to get back, man.
When I'm in the area,
I'm
doing live, right from the house.
What you up to, bro?
Nothing right here, man. Just chilling, just working on just a bunch of new projects. I'm working on a new J.I. EP. That should be coming out probably in May. We're just getting all the records together. You know, it's a process. You got to mix, you got to master, you got to get clearances, you got to get splits. It's a whole process. People think it's easy, but it's not. You know, once the artist makes the record, that's when the real work starts.
That's when the real work begins, right? Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do it all, but if we're not, we got to get you back because I'm starting to do a lot of interviews with music executives, man, because it's very necessary. The game is going through transformation right now, and I'm glad to have you. We had Chris Atlas here a couple of weeks ago, and he just left Warner Music Group. He's out there working with Usher, doing his own thing. I told him that, you know, you when I seen you at the crib and was talking, you spoke very highly of him. You know, he hasn't changed. You know, those are some of the things that we talked about, relationship and how important that is in this business. Go ahead, elaborate on that, you know, the importance of relationship in this business.
Important relationships in this business because no one really leaves the business. They just transfer into other positions or other jobs or independent. They stay in the music. So a lot of people have the tendency that when someone is not working at a certain label, he's not at a major, he doesn't have no more relations, so people stop communicating with them. That's why communication is key with everyone, because everyone plays a role in an encanto. Like, I can call, I'm going to example, I'll call Steve Rifkin, you know, that I was in business with him 20 years ago, and I can get on my phone asking for advice or asking for a number. Hey, I'm trying to get with this person. You know them? Yeah, let me connect you. But that's why you have to stay in touch with everyone. Even if it's a course, they check up. Hey, how you doing? Everything's okay? Just checking on you.
Now we're going to get into all that, man. But, you know, before we go any further, man, I would like to wish my condolences, send my condolences to my brother, Jeffrey Johnson, and his whole family. He had a cousin that just passed to cancer, F cancer. My brother Jeff, man, we're here with you, man. All right, you know, our prayers and thoughts to your family. Now back to it, Gab. Let's talk about how. Let me make it clear, Gabby is my Puerto Rican brother. You know, I've been telling y'all this dude, my producer Harry, he's a fake old Puerto Rican, old MAGA Puerto Rican. I've been trying to tell him, look, man, I have a Puerto Rican family, so watch how you talk to me. All right. He don't get it. But Gabby's my Puerto Rican family. I've known him for I don't even know how many years now. My relationship started with his brother first. And you know, you guys hear the yayo and what do you call it, 50 Cent stories, where they talked about, you know, sleeping in bed together, pause, you know, just a show of the type of brotherhood that they had. That was me and Gabby. I'll go to New York with a polo backpack to go pick up records. The next thing I know, he's kidnapped me for like 3-4 days, going to album release parties, get up, start all over again. Stay in the same bed, gossip, talk about who we don't like, who we don't like. The next thing you know, he's snoring because he always go to sleep first. wake up, you know, go outside, go to the bodega store, get me some bananas, get in that love van and start all over again.
Back to 125th. That's the truth.
Man.
Go over there, harass the avenue for the mixtapes.
Isaac.
Argue Isaac every time you went. I mean, that never passed.
Isaac Music, I'll go to K Slay's house, pick up some more bootlegs.
I know the first time I met K Slay was with you.
You met me K Slay.
We went to his house on
111.
I was in Harlem somewhere.
Harlem, yeah. 116, I think, yeah.
Oh, so fuck God, DK Slay. I'm like, whoa. I'll never forget that. First time I met DK Slay was a chill.
On that note, man, you know, I would like to wish, you know, I'd like to send a shout to Claribel, you know. Claribel, I'm sending a shout to Claribel because we're coming home like 4 or 5 in the morning and Claribel will wake up and cook us breakfast because, you know, I don't like to eat outside. Cook us breakfast before we go to bed and do some gossiping and then fell asleep and wake up and start all over again, man. So Claribel, I just want to let you know you are appreciated. You was a part of this journey and it will never be forgotten about. All right.
She was our diner, man.
We wasn't doing those diners, man. We came straight home and dine right at home. Claribel, shout out to you, man. Gab, how did it all start?
Well, it started with my brother.
Buddha.
With Buddha, the chicken star.
You already know.
I remember that he bought a computer, and I'm like, how's he going to know how to work a computer? And it was a gateway computer. And he was working at a record pool, and he was doing reports. And they said one day, I'm buying a computer. And I'm like, all right, like, you know how to use it? He's like, I was in high school, I don't forget. He said, no, I'm going to figure it out. And he bought a gateway computer, and he built it in the house. He was running a record pool and street team out of it. And I remember him doing reports, and hitting the wrong button, and the whole report is gone.
Damn.
Right? The gateway. And I also seen him fix a gateway computer on his own. Because it was a little snap-on piece at the time.
Right.
So I went to my brother watching him. He was hustling this record pool, and Street Team account out of our living room. And you remember walking in, when as soon as you walk in the door, there's boxes of vinyl across the whole hallway.
You already know how that goes. Yep.
So I started with my, I used to just sit with him. Just sit with him and watch him work.
Well, when we were doing the VIP record pool, this was him doing it on his own. This,
well, he was doing VIP record pool. Remember that one time he had left?
Right. He's
still helping the house.
Yes. Yep.
The marketing side of things.
Right. Yep.
I didn't come in for the record pool. I came in for the marketing side. When
yep.
I was on Street Team.
Buddha Inc.
I was helping with the record pool, just giving people records that came to the house.
Right.
That's how I met you when you came to the house.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like, how's this guy gonna fit all these records in the book bag? He can fit them. Whatever you carry.
That blue.
Like, this guy comes from Connecticut on the Metro North, and he wears sunglasses in the middle of winter. Who is this guy?
Gabba wish I was wearing sunglasses before Diddy. Hey, by the way, you took my B-Blue sunglasses and never gave me back. Housed it for a while too.
Watching my older brother, I seen him really grind and really make something out of nothing, like out of a living room. He always was a DJ. So growing up, he DJed on the block. He DJed hookie parties. That was a lot of go, but he was DJing hookie parties in the summer. He'll put his equipment in the fire skate and DJ to the neighborhood. He was always into music, so he got me into the music industry.
And then he blew up when y'all got caught in New York for y'all made it. What's the name of the newspaper?
Well, they were looking for us, and we didn't know they were looking for us. They were only looking for you guys. Back in the days, I identified about what account you was working.
Right.
That's the aftermath, guys.
Right.
People who were, right. Those are the guys that put up these stickers. That's the marketing team.
Right.
So me and him are walking down Broadway when they're in Houston. We all put a couple of stickers up, and we're just like, we'll come back. We're walking down the street, and the cops came out of nowhere.
That's when we were doing the big pump project, right?
Or jumped out of us. They said, we've been looking for you. And I'm like, what? Yeah, we've been looking for you guys, and they just arrested us right there.
That's when Giuliani made putting up poster boards illegal in New York.
And we were probably the first people to get charged.
It was. Matter of fact, it was Wall Street Journal. Now that I remember,
we got charged with I don't know what the charge was. It was like graffiti, something.
They made up something.
Before you people got caught, they'll get a summons.
Right.
That's it. We got a charge. I'm like, we got arrested. We got arrested. We went through a system, and they really wanted my brother, but I was with him, so they took me with him, and then the cop took a picture of us, of my brother in the cell. And that's the picture he gave it to us, and that's the picture on the Wall Street Journal.
Yo.
And they couldn't put his picture, so he made like a sketch.
God, you remember when I got chased out of the tunnel? By the tunnel?
He had chased us. One thing you're not leaving is a sunglasses or your backpack. That thing never came off your back.
Man. We got chased at the tunnel, pulling up poster boards. I think Buddha left. He caught a flight. He was going somewhere, and I got chased at the tunnel. I ran through that UPS FedEx building, jumped in the cab, got in the back of the cab. The cab driver didn't even know I was in the cab. I jumped in there quietly and got off on the subway and went straight to your crib. Oh my God. Man, what a story. Man, so that's where things started changing, and then you actually got into, started working aloud somewhere down the line.
That hit. Buddha and OJ had a loud account.
Right.
So we were subcontracts, so we worked for his company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he will pay us, and then we were going on tour.
Go ahead.
Hear me?
Yeah.
So we were doing Street Team, and Steve Rifkin wanted to know how was Master P so successful in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to take the Street Team with him so we can see what they were doing and how it was working. So my brother tells me, Well, I had missed had I don't remember the name of the I don't remember the event that Buddha left me out. He left me out because I was acting crazy, and he was like, "Nah, you can't go." I know it was in Jamaica. It wasn't Hot Night Jamaica. Me and you went to Hot Night Jamaica. It was some other event in Jamaica. I didn't get to go, so I had to stay behind. And then when this tour came up, he said, "Well, you can go on this tour." And I'm sitting on the curb of a hotel, the Four Seasons Hotel, and he's like, "Oh, you're gonna meet Steve Rifkin. He's the owner of the company, yeah, Hot Night Jamaica, yeah."
That was Half Moon.
The Half Moon Resort in Jamaica. Yeah, I remember
You ain't about nothing, man. You put my deep at the Holiday Inn and had that
that.
stay in the best resort in here.
And we was eating steak
Oh,
for breakfast.
you ain't about nothing, man. You going to hell for that. You put your artist in the
Look
hood and stayed in the Beverly Hills Hotel.
at the other picture. Look, one of the famous book bags. He always had a backpack on him, always, no matter
That was
what.
their Rock a Block joint.
Because that thing, at any moment, he will go to 125th and buy mixtapes and all type of stuff to resell in Connecticut.
Go ahead, man. Finish telling
So
the story, man. Go
I'm
ahead.
in Tampa, right? And he's like, "Me, Steve Rifkin." I didn't even know who Steve Rifkin was. I'm like, "All right, cool." I'm sitting on the curb. And I forget, I'm on my phone. I'm on a Nextel. I'm on the phone, and a big bus pulls up, and I'm like, "Oh, shit." So he's like, "Yo, get up so you can meet Steve Rifkin." So I get up, and I'm like, they all come out the bus. Steve Rifkin, a couple of the guys come out. And he's like, "Oh, what's up? What's up? Who are you?" I said, "Oh, I work with Buddha." Well, I didn't even tell him I was his brother. I said, "I work with Buddha." He's like, "Yeah? You? You're gonna stay with me? You're gonna carry my bags?" I'm like, "What the fuck?"
Hey, we on FM radio.
Oh, I'm like, "Who is he talking to? Why I carry your bags?" So Buddha's like, "Just follow the lead." I'm like, "All right." So I'm coming from the Bronx. Whenever I went on vacation, it was Puerto Rico and Florida, and we were going to relatives' house. We in a big old suite. He's like, "That's your room. Order whatever you want on room service. Just make sure my bags, this and that." And from that day on, then he used to make me sit in meetings. Like, I sat in meetings with Phil Knight, not knowing who Phil Knight was, Tommy Hilfiger, Ralph Lauren, because he had this company called SRC that was Steve Rifkin company,
Company.
which was a marketing company, an advertising company. So I was sitting in these meetings. You know me, I fall asleep at that time. And then he'll give me like a quiz at the end of the meeting. Like, "Hey, what did you learn?" I'm like, manufacturing at this point, like closing. Like, every meeting he took me to was a meeting that it was like a dream come true, but I was so young and I didn't know who these people were
Right.
until later on. I'm talking about not right then and there, like
Right.
maybe like weeks later. He was like, "You know that was the owner of Nike. You know that's Tommy Hilfiger, the close Tommy Hilfiger. You know this guy's this. You know this guy's owns Puma. This," and it just kept trickling down from that. "This guy runs, you know, this is Jimmy Iovine. Like, he runs Interscope Record, Tupac." So he gave me a lot of knowledge, and I met a lot of people with him, and I learned a lot from my brother, and then I learned the corporate side, the executive side from Steve Rifkin. And once I got with Steve, and the tour was over, and he saw my humor. I'm easy to get along with. I'm funny. I'm always joking. I make people laugh. He said, "Man, I think you'll make a perfect radio to work radio for me. I'm gonna make you my local." So I remember Geo Bivens was there, and he said, "You're gonna hire him. Yeah, I'm gonna move him out the street team. He's gonna work radio."
He was dangerous, bro.
And I was like, "What?" And then so when we went around the country, we're going to visit all these radio stations. So now we Steve Rifkin, right? We're meeting program directors and chairman of the radio stations. We're not meeting DJs. We're meeting like top of the line. And he's introduced to me like, "This is my son, boom, boom." And it wasn't far-fetched because he was married to an African-American woman. So I was like, it might have been his kid. All right, cool. And I made a lot of relationships at radio, like around the country, because that tour went around the country, not only the South. We ended up going everywhere. And I learned radio from then. I learned a lot of radio. And Steve introduced me to it, but I learned it a lot from Geo Bivens, who's the head of radio now.
Little short bald-headed Jill.
Yeah. So
What up,
Gio, I
Jill?
learned a lot from him. And then I started doing local radio with Steve, with Gio, just doing like High 97, WBLS. And then I mastered it. And they were like, "You need to go to Boston. You need to go here. You need to go there." And then by the time you know it, I was going around. Just but... the gift of gab and a great old corporate card.
Oh boy.
Money on the board.
Man, you know what? Gab, I got to give it to you because during the music convention days, you know, a lot of reps were spending a lot of money on DJs trying to get their record played. You were just going in on them. Gabby will start from A and end up at Z and pick on every single DJ and just have everybody just crying, turn around and get his record played. Cheap SOB, not spending the money, just making them laugh and playing the records.
That's it. I used to make them laugh, play the records, go to dinners, cheap dinners, and hang with them. I used to go to their clubs. Wherever they were DJing, I would just go hang with them. But one thing that I did that I didn't have to spend the money like that because I
just said it to be, you know, on the joke hand. But,
no, but I'm going to tell you why, what helped me.
It didn't stop from just spending money. You actually had a real, authentic relationship whereby most of the, yeah.
And you know, was another thing too that I did that was important at the time was I would bring the DJs to the club for them. You get me? A lot of people didn't do that. So when they say, hey, Mac, I'm like, hey, Kingsley, this guy's in town. I don't care if he was in Connecticut. He was in Boston. What club? I'm in Connecticut. All right, I'm going to drive up there with them. And that'll show you like, wow, this guy brought him to the club, whether they were hot at the time or not. You know what I mean? Sometimes they weren't hot at the time. They became hotter later. And when they became hotter later, I would do it again. Like, yo, I know you looked out for me. I'm going to bring, when's your birthday? Oh, my birthday is, I'm going to bring the artist. If they were based out of New York, let me look at the calendar. Let me lock it in.
That was one of those questions I asked Chris Atlas when he was here. And when I asked him that, you know, do you miss how a record was being promoted from the ground where you had to do the mom and pop store, the retail, the lifestyle. The you know the chicken the going straight into the hood, you know, and you know that's some of the things that we were talking about, you know, from the ground, starting the artist from the ground, from no list all the way to the A list.
But that's what built our relationship with the local record stores, the mixtape stores. Remember, it wasn't just going to Tower Records, Best Buy. It was going to Catch and Rec. It was going to Music Hut. It was going to the local mixtape, the African and Sammy's Fashion that had the table inside a clothing store. He was big. He was big for us.
Where it starts from.
When we went to him, it was big. Going to Isaac was big. You know what I mean? Because it gave them like incentive, like, okay, Mobb Deep was here. I took a picture with Mobb Deep. And there was no posting. You had to go in and be like, oh, we got a picture with Mobb Deep. It boosted everybody. And the also world, helped the us. The
with everything.
Yeah, and then somebody, if I, like you, we brought almost every artist to Catch and Rec. You know what I mean? You had your own relationship with them too. But it always boosted the store. And it said, you know what? They came here. I'm going to push this Mobb Deep tape more than anything. They came here.
Yep.
Even though there might have been a Jay-Z album that was way hotter, but he ain't show up. I'll give you an example. You know, DMX ain't show up or whoever ain't show up. But this guy showed up, I'm going to push him. Because as an independent retailer, we're gonna put things. You have the ability to put things in the consumer's face,
right?
Say, nah, take this one. Best Buy don't care. They're like, well, I don't care if you buy or not, because they're all employees. You're an owner. You know what I mean? It's like putting a light box, a poster in front of your store. It meant a lot.
And it's funny that you said that because even with the street team, you know who's who. When you were able to go to Circuit City Best Buy and put up a poster board. When the rep came into your mark, when you took those pictures and sent it in, that's when you were scoring points.
Oh no, forget it. See, the record companies had all the independent stores they wanted you to be at. Right. Plus, they wanted you at the Towers, the Best Buy, and then we were doing it.
They got to put boxes.
We was putting up posters for free, and then they got smart and started putting light boxes.
Right.
And they threw us out the game. Them things are $350, $500 for the month.
Hey, you know, I got to give a big shout out to Jordan, man, because Jordan was the one that actually got me on the payroll at Loud. When I used to come down there and collect products and take pictures and, you know, send it to OJ. And one day Jordan was like, yo, your pictures look better than the people we paid on the street team. You know, why don't we put you on? You know, and that was my entry to Loud Records, you know, street team. But God, man, we got a lot to talk about. I'm not even going to push it. We're just going to have to get you back, because man, I can't rush through these questions, man. It's a whole lot. The industry is going through transformation. We're going to talk a little about that. I heard Steve Rifkin spazzing on his social media. You know, he's got a lot of passion. If you guys have watched the Wu-Tang documentaries, man, you know that this guy really fights for his artists, no ifs and buts about it.
100%.
We're gonna talk about that.
But that's the beauty.
Hold that thoughts. Let me do a station ID. This is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHHLP. I am your host, Kingsley Osei. And if you are just joining us today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bull Minds and Twitter at Bull Minds. You can also stream this show on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. We are also joined by our special guest, Gabby Azevedo, talking about management, marketing, branding, and artist development. He's the CEO of G-Star Entertainment, currently managing the J.I., the Prince of New York. Now, Gabby, go ahead, take it from there. What you were saying about Steve.
Steve Rifkin, right? The way he's passionate, because here's the difference, right? You can sign to a label direct, right? Kingsley Tomorrow was signed to Universal Direct. They're excited about you, they sign you, right? Now, the difference between signing to a joint venture, right, is you have somebody that can sit with them top execs and fight for you. Sometimes when you sign direct, you see them at the signing, you won't see them again. They'll point to somebody else. You'll never see them again. So a lot of people, I don't want to sign to the label direct. The best thing, if there's an established joint venture in the system, that's what you need to do, because that man gets paid if you win. So he's fighting as hard as you are. A lot of people don't know that.
If you watch the Wu-Tang documentary, they actually turned down money from Def Jam, a bigger box from Def Jam, and decided to go with Steve. And I guess Steve kept it 100 with them to tell them that, hey, I don't have the money that they are offering you, but I bet you I will make you guys a star.
Yeah.
And his word was Bon Jovi.
He does the groundwork.
Yeah, Zerai says I shouldn't forget to tell you about the Bob Marley documentary. She loved that One Love movie, man. Okay, I won't. All right. Go ahead.
So yeah, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
Now we're talking about, we were talking about his deal.
Wu-Tang, Steve. Right. Steve's just a real passionate person, man, and he's for the artist. He understands that the machine is what pays and gets it going, but if the artist is not happy with him, then what's the use? If the machine, he's in charge of the machine. You deliver, he delivers on his side. Mm-hmm. And he's involved all the way. He's always been involved in the music side. He picks singles. He's really good at that. He's really got to chase the market. He's really good at pitching a record to people. So Steve Rifkin will work out of these records himself, like start. He'll make some calls. Who's sitting back? You know what I mean? He's there. He's been on the road. He goes on the road with the artist. That's where I learned it from. When people say, oh, you're too hands-on. No, I learned that from Steve. I'm on tour with my artist. I make the calls that I have to make. If I got to argue with people, I'm going to play the bad guy, and I'll fix it later. I have a 20-year relationship with this guy. I can curse him out. He can curse me out, and we're going to get back right. But I need this.
Yeah.
And again,
yeah.
Back to that, that's where relations come in. I don't have to have a hit record. I have a relationship. I need a shot. I gave you 100 hit records. I need you to give me. That's when the relations kick in. But say, I ain't got it, bro, to promote this record, but I need you. I need you to start playing this record for me in the station. Or I need you to play in the club for me. Relationships.
I think Steve owes some money, man. Steve. Steve had SRC company. We were working Loud Records and working SRC company, but we were getting one check and a whole bunch of gears. we gotta talk about that, man.
Steve compensated. We had to buy clothes, sneakers, backpack. We even had raincoats from Helly Hansen, remember?
We had Hugo Boss account. We had a Levi's account. We had a starter account.
Feli.
Yes.
We had Nike.
Nike account, Adidas.
We had the NFL count.
Oh my God. Oh, with one check.
Pepsi and Mountain Dew.
Pepsi and Mountain Dew. You know, big shout out Pepsi and Mountain Dew. I went to DJ for the US Open snowboarding in at Vermont. I mean Stratford, Vermont with OJ.
Yeah, Mount Snow, I remember.
Remember that? We were doing the
Freeze magazine. We remember Freeze magazine had a tournament.
Exactly. Man, what some good days. Remember them starter jackets?
Big oh man.
Shout out to Mem. Joking about starter jackets.
Shout out to Mem. Shout out to Mem and Carlton. They raided the storage. That was the end of that.
Making every move, man.
Yeah, that was the end of that.
Oh my God.
On
man.
Camera too.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay on the Steve Rifkin point again. Now, when Loud Records was sold, everybody went about the way. People got to eat, people got to pay bills, and you actually had loyalty to Steve, where you did not leave when you had label offers, and you stuck with him until the birth of SRC, and where you guys came up with that Akon. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, at one point, that's allowed had closed, right? Or whatever, he had sold it or whatever. I don't remember exactly what happened, but
did a joint venture first before the closing.
Yeah, so it closed, and then everybody was like, "All right, I'm out." People getting offers, jobs, they left, and people calling me for all at this time. I was dominating radio at that point. I was great. I knew everybody on the panel. I was getting records played all day. And I was getting multiple job offers, right? And tell you the truth, I just bought the townhouse at the time. Just bought the house at the time. I just bought two brand new cars. I'm having a kid, my first child. I'm married. And we lose our job. And I'm like, holy
guacamole.
What's going on? I'm like, what am I going to do? And as soon as they announced it that it closed, I started getting phone calls. Big executives, and I knew some of them. I knew the name, but they didn't know them. Like, hey, come work for us. Want you to do radio, head of radio here. Gonna offer you this bonus, and I'm like, I was so loyal to Steve for giving me this chance. I couldn't entertain them, right? Because I felt like I was gonna be disloyal to him, and all he was loyal to me. So at that point, I had to make a decision. Like, do I get a job? Do I take an offer, right? And one side, I'm like, loyalty. And one side, I'm like, my wife is pregnant, got a house, just bought a house not even a year ago, have two brand new cars I'm still paying. I'm stuck. I'm stuck, but I'm like, I'm loyal. I can't. I'm just going to get a regular job. I can't do this. I can't go somewhere and leave this guy on his own, right? Because everyone took off. And I spoke to my wife. I was like, you know what, man? Loyalty's everything. I'm a school teacher. I make money. You can do little work, independent records. Don't go work with nobody until you figure it out. So I stood by Steve's side for like a year. And when around that time, that's when David Banner came in, Akon, a guy named Ricochet, that was out of Detroit. He's like, yo, we're going to get this label deal. But I was with Steve the whole time. The whole year I was with Steve. I was in L.A. living with him. I was in New York when he would come here. I was all over the place with him because he was still trying to get a deal. And the day he gets a deal, which was at Universal, Republic with Monty Lehman and Bruce Carbone, he gets a deal. And everybody already knows me going in and out the office with him. So that day he tells me, all right, so, you know, everybody, congrats, boom, boom. And he goes, okay, and just want to let you know that Gabby's the president of SRC, and he's also the co-owner.
Mm.
And I'm like, what? I didn't know that. I didn't know none of that. I thought I was going there to do radio. That's it.
Right.
And then he gave me this position, and he gave me this ownership, and then we ran for the races from there.
You had your best interest, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, my best interest, and that's why I say loyalty pays off. It doesn't pay right away, but it pays off.
I know Fajo's your man and everything, but me and my man Chauncey, you know Chauncey?
Yeah.
Chauncey, that was at Pepsi doing his own thing now. Me and him was on the phone, you know, talking about that whole Fajo and T what was his name? was TA's incident, you know, when TA stuck by his side throughout the beef and everything. And, you know, TA felt like, you know what, you know, even though every people had their own opinion about it, that, you know, he just decided to take the minimum. And you know, if that's what you decided to take and that's what he gave you, then that's what you sign up for. And to me, I felt like, no, if somebody's being loyal to you to get you through everything, you know, you're supposed to be able to remember that loyalty goes both ways. You know what I'm saying? So if you and I cut the deal to get $300 per show, and somewhere down the line, now you're making a lot more money, you should know that $300 a show, in really, I can't feed my family with 300. You know what I'm saying? You gotta up that. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I know Fat Joe for taking care of his people. You know, I don't know nothing about the
That's
whole
a man.
TA thing,
So
but
I don't, matter of fact, Gab, I don't even want to bring, because I'm trying to be very strategic about interviews so that I don't feel like I threw you
yeah.
into the line to force you to.
No, I get it. But I
Okay.
know Fat Joe for a long time. And he, to me, he's always been loyal to his people. You know what I mean? I don't know what he pays people, whatever it is, but he's always been loyal. I know he takes care of a lot of people. I've never seen like Fat Joe not take care of people. You know what I mean? Even us, like when we worked for him and we work records, he always took us to dinner. He always gave us jackets, 560, the leather jackets. Like those things weren't free, and he'll give it to us. He was always grateful. He'll throw us a couple extra bucks for helping him. So that's my experience with him. You know what I mean? And to this day, when I see him, it's love. Like, yo, what up? And if I call, yeah, let's go to dinner. And I never came out of my pocket. He was like, I got it. Don't worry about it. That's my experience with Joe. You know?
I didn't expect you to even speak on. I don't even know why I brought it up, but I brought it up based on just the loyalty that Steve had for you without even asking, knowing that, you know what, this guy was loyal to me and I think he deserves this. That's why I said that, because when the TA incident came up, we had to hear his story, why he's so animated, why he's so mad. And I read into it and I'm like, damn, the guy, you know, the amount that what you was paying for the guy when he was in Korea somewhere, you know, fighting for you and all that. I think at some point it's like, look, man, this is what you deserve, even though this is the agreement that we made. And I think Steve gave you your deserve without you asking. And that speaks a lot about Steve.
Yeah, now Steve, forget it. I owe him and my brother my career.
That's what's up.
A
But
million percent. My brother would start to this day. I still call my brother for advice. The way I call Steve, like, what you think about this? What you think about that? He's like, ah, there's that. All right, cool. And one thing I learned from my brother was there's for every problem, there's a solution.
solution. Yep.
It
Yep.
took me a while to learn that because when I had a problem, I couldn't resolve something, or I couldn't get something done, I would just kind of like be frustrated. He's like, all that time you're wasting being frustrated and being upset, or
Everything.
you waste time. That time you could be trying to figure out how to resolve this.
But you know what, Gabby, we learned that from being in the street team. We don't
Yeah.
make excuses. We think about the bottom line at all time. It's the definition of a street team. We don't have the money to pay for the billboards, but guess what? We're gonna make our own billboards.
Yeah, exactly. You remember
This
we used to be having the picket signs up, the vinyl wrap truck,
I used to
the
tell my
flyers,
street team,
stickers.
don't I used to tell my street team, don't call me and tell me you couldn't find a place to put up the banner. You spin around that place 20 times and you hang that banner up in the air, invisibly. I don't care where it goes, that banner better go
Remember
up.
we used to do snipes.
Yep.
I remember us putting up snipes, right? And we kind of figured out. Remember at that time we was getting like $2 a poster
Right.
to put up. And we
Right.
like, we gotta figure this out. So I remember we followed the sniping company. Like I guess it was like the mob, they would say that ran the snipes. They were on all construction sites in New York. So they had permits, so they were able to do it, but they would do it early, like 1, 2 in the morning, right? And then we would come out at 3 in the morning and go over all their shit through every borough. That at one point they had the They found us, right? Because they were losing money and they
Right,
hired us.
can
Said, we
beat
need to
them.
hire.
Can
How
beat
do
them.
you guys cover? How do you guys cover all five boroughs? You don't even cover Staten Island. Remember, because we had a team in Brooklyn and we only went to the shopping districts, you know?
Right.
And like in the Bronx, it was Fordham Road, Third Avenue, Southern Boulevard. We killed it.
Gab, we're about to close out. We talk about SRC starting now. The Akon story. I want to finish off with the Akon story. Let's finish off with the Akon story. I remember what I remember was I just broke up with my ex-girlfriend. You sent Buddha to come pick me up at the store in Bridgeport. Buddha came and picked me up, brought me to the Bronx. You got me from the Bronx, brought me to your house, kidnapped me for the weekend. It was a Valentine's Day weekend. We stopped at the, what you call it, first to pick up some movie, Blockbuster to pick up a movie.
Yep.
On our way home, you had this Akon Illegal Alien mixtape. You're like, look, man, he's an African. You're going to like this dude. You have been listening to Illegal Alien mixtape for the whole
thing. That's right. Before he was in him out. Yeah.
Before he was out, and the rest was history.
Yes, yes. So Akon came about.
We got 2 minutes.
Real quick. Akon was assigned to Divine Stevens out of Atlanta. That came out of jail. And me and Steve flew down there to see him. We went to see him. The whole album was done. The first album that came out was done. Produced, written, mixed, mastered by Akon. Right? So we put out a record called Belly Dancer. It didn't do too well. We ended up putting out Locked Up. Nobody, the producer Nobody, was an A&R at SRC. He went and got Styles P on the record. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, to make it believe, well, he kind of came out of jail. Styles P came out of jail. So the record's still not moving. A friend of mine named Jason Rivera, Casper, worked at Rikers Island. He's in my house. And a light bulb just came to me. And I'm like, oh, Cal, this guy works at Rikers Island, the jail, locked up. So I said, yo, can I get Akon to perform in Rikers Island? He was like, no, I've been there 6 years. Nobody goes there to perform. I think his uncle was a warden or something in a high position in Rikers Island. I said, call your uncle. He said, he's going to say no. I said, call him. He called his uncle. His uncle was like, yeah, he can perform. We won't pay him, but he can perform when you want him. And when we took him to Rikers Island to perform for C-74 and HDM, they started calling Hot 97. And Hot 97 didn't know who Akon was, and they didn't even have the record. And they started calling Case Slay, so the Locked Up show members, sing, sing, locked in, Rikers Island. And people started requesting the record, and from then on, that's street team marketing. From that, it triggered state to state.
I remember you and I went after the weekend was over, because we were snowed in. We actually had the white label that just came in, and we went to Hot 97 with it. This conversation is going to be continued, Gabby. Big shout out to my man Skate up in T.O. All right, we're gonna talk about how you and Buddha actually went to Toronto to try to sign Drake, and whatever happened, you guys came without Drake. We're gonna continue this conversation in the next couple of weeks, Gab. You know, now that you got,
we need like 10 more parts of this.
I'm trying to tell you, man. Hey. This is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHH LP. Gabby, man, we appreciate you coming through. And I will see you guys again in the next couple of weeks.
Let's do it. Love.
Young guns coming up during these times. For police who find drugs, let slide. For the ends out slinging like 4 in the night.
For your man's not snitching when the pressure is tight.
For dudes that don't jam when it's time to strike.
For bootleg liquor on a Sunday night.
This be the realest you heard in your life.
Yo, when the gas refill, your cash get peeled, and that's the deal. If my chance to switch fast, that lack the real. When the